Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, turn your Bible with me this evening, and I want to share some things with you. I want to share with you 7 areas where you should expect the Lord to compensate you. 7 areas. 7 areas. And God will compensate you in these areas as long as you sow, as long as you sow the seeds of faith. What I mean by that is that as long as you are a believer, there are 7 areas where God will definitely compensate you. And you know what? And what you expect is what you receive of the Lord. Many of us, our expectation in terms of what we receive from the Lord is very low. Our expectation is very low. Our dream of what God can possibly do with us, or how God can possibly reward us, is very low. And again, sometimes it's a function of environment, because we say, you know what? Yeah, you know, give and don't expect anything back. It's charity. But I want to let you know tonight that your God is a rewarding God. He's a compensating God. And there are 7 areas where God will compensate you. But I want you to set your expectation tonight. And at the end of this service, we're going to pray. And then we believe God for the best. 7 areas where God will compensate you. If you don't expect it, you will never receive it. So I want you to set your heart this month and believe God for these areas. Set big dreams around this area. You know, talking about big dreams, you know, I had an encounter, an experience. I don't know whether to call it an experience or not. You know how you said, so I was setting some goals for, for 2016. And I was together with some group of friends. I don't know them. They're actually... It's an online thing. We got together, and then so I set this goal, and I told myself, I think this is very big. I think this is very, very big. Well, yeah, and I'm actually scared. You know how you have this big goal, you think it's very, very big, and you're even scared to write it down, yeah. And then the whole idea is that you fill out this form, and then you upload it, and then you get to see, you know, the people in the group. You know, there are various goals, and. So I put my, I was so excited. I said, oh yeah, man, this is so big. I'm sure this is just going to make everybody in the group quake. You know, I said, but if I'm scared of this kind of dream, maybe. And then I put his thing up. The first guy, I saw his form. His form was like 20 times bigger than my dream. 20 times. I said, ah. No, unfortunately, you can't delete. You can't withdraw it. I said, are you kidding? So I went to spy on the other guy's work. I was like 30 times. Then I saw one elderly woman. I said, suddenly my dream will be bigger than this woman. I was like five times bigger than mine. I was telling my dad, I said, oh my God. I said, look at this thing. I said, you know, can you imagine what? So sometimes you need to look at what other people are doing before you set a ceiling height dream for yourself. So I want you to pay attention to these 7 areas. And every time you are under pressure in any area, remember that even the pressure you go through, God will reward. I'm going to show you those 7 areas right now. Amen. Matthew chapter 19, verse 27 to 28 says, Peter answered and said, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? So you are not the first person who will ask, what's in it for me? That's the head of the church. We have left everything to follow you. He wasn't having a conversation. He was screaming. What then will there be for us? This Christianity has cost us so much. Well, he can say that, but my question is, yours costing you? But you know something, bro? Some people, their faith doesn't cost them anything. We have left everything. And some people don't want to leave anything. Some people want to, you know, get born again, be in church, and still hold on to the world. Some want to be Christians, but they still want to do the things that their non-Christian friends do. Some want to embrace Christ and then use the other hand to embrace the world. You've got to leave something behind. It's going to cost you something. It's your sacrifice. Amen? We have left. He said, so what then will be for us? And Jesus didn't say, oh, nothing. He said, Jesus said, look at him. I said, truly, I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when a son of man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. In other words, he's saying that, listen, I am going to so reward you, apart from everything, you think you've walked on water now, right? My compensation is not limited to your earthly existence, but in eternity, when I come back, there is a service you offer, even when you die. Are you listening? Are you listening?
Yes.
So I want to, if you understand these things, it helps you determine how well you want to serve the Lord. So he asked that question, what is in it for me? And it's not bad for you to ask what's in it for me. I like to ask. So I'll just digress a little bit here. When I witness, sometimes, so there are different types of fishermen, you know. There are people that go fishing, they catch fish one after the other. There are some people, they are like nets. Yeah, you know the net strategy? You know, like that, and you throw in your net, then you drag it in. They then have the big guys, the trawlers. You know, they use machines. They just sit down and they wear their fisherman cap, you know, the red, the blue and white t-shirt. And then at the back is a trawler. There's a fishing trawler. Or they do just sit down, cup of coffee, just drive through the ocean. And by the time they get back, it's like fishes. Yeah? So try and identify which one you are. And then master it. Okay? So, but I'm a rod guy. I like to bring it in one at a time, you know? And then once in a while, you catch that big chunky fish. You know what a chunky, you know chunky fish? I mean, you know what, you know, how many of you know what a chunky, there are some people in the church, when they bring in a fish, you know, a church member that stays, I say, man, praise God. You know that there are some, you know that there are some people that when they join, there are some of you when I see you, I'll just be thanking God for the person who brought you. You know, so you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Equally, you can also bring one fish. Go and bring a piranha. You know. You know. Yeah, you can bring it. You can go and bring it. Just bring one piranha. You know, it's still a fish. It's still a fish. It's okay. But there are some fish. When they just join the body, we all start bleeding. Because piranha will just, you know, piranha will just bite everything. Just a blood-sucking, flesh-eating fish. Hallelujah. Okay, so whenever I bring a fish, I say, why should I come to the church? I say, man, listen, if you follow me, if you walk with me, you join our church, you want, my God will bless you. I'm telling you, my God, you should learn to talk. You should learn to do that, because you are the bait. Mm. You are the bait. Now listen very carefully. It doesn't matter what you think you are going through. Non-Christians, they don't have what you have. You are the only one that thinks that if you don't have, you are worth nothing. Mm. You are the only one that they don't see that. When they look at you, they see the spirit of the Lord. They see the glory of the Lord. They see the Shekinah glory of the Lord. That's what they see. You don't know what people see when they look at you. No. When they look at you, you are the only one who sees yourself. Mm. What the world see, they see Jesus. Mm. I'm telling you. Mm. What you call error is huge blessing. I'm telling you. That's why you've got to own Christianity, own your faith, and be comfortable with who you are, and serve the Lord with who you are, and be a soul-winning machine. Mm. You are the bait. With this church right now, where we are right now, no two individuals are the same. Mm. Does that make sense? And so you've got to reel that thing. I said, well, listen, before you even start thinking that, what? Let me tell you what's in it for you. It's to your advantage to hang out with the kind of people, you just see me when I'm witnessing. It's to your advantage to walk, to hang out with the kind of people I hang out with. If you want to peep at them, just come on Sunday. Yes, kidding. And so that's me. And for some of you, many of you are a net, you are a dragnet. But sometimes you pay so much attention to yourself that you fail to see the power of God in your life. You pay so much attention for yourself. You just say, I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. I don't know anything. Well, that will never go away. I still feel inadequate. But I'm happy feeling inadequate. So, what did Paul say? That I may decrease. That's a good place to be. Feeling inadequate is a good place to be. It means that all the glory belongs to him. Amen. And that's what he wants. Are you listening? That's what he wants. You are the one that God wants to use. Jesus is not, we are the hands and legs of Christ on earth. Amen. And do not allow the devil put so much rubbish of life on you that you fail to express your uniqueness. And that's the reason why God has given us the wisdom to build Gateway Chapel the way it is. There is nobody that will tell you you can't become anything in this church. It's not possible. There is no hierarchy of leadership that can tell you that, that your creativity is restricted. No, not here. Are you listening? And then Jesus said, listen, in the life to come, you will so benefit from your association and all the sacrifice. Nothing. God is not a debtor. I will not owe you anything. I will reward you. Not just on this life, but in the next life. When I come back, you have a throne. But many of us don't need to wait that long. Many of us are already sitting on throne on earth. Praise the Lord. Why? It says, thy will be done on earth. If there's a throne in heaven, then you have one here.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So there's nothing you will leave God for that will be wasted. Nothing. So the two words there, divine compensation. What is divine? Something pertaining to the things of God. Something beautiful. Something heavenly. Divine deals with heavenly things. And we are saying it's divine compensation. Just to set your expectation. What is compensation? It's the act of principle of compensating. It denotes settlement. God will settle you. There's settlement in the air right now that's available to us as a church. It means reward for obedience. Reward for obedience. So divine compensation. God will compensate you. Praise the Lord. And seven areas where God will compensate. Number one, rejoicing. He will compensate you with rejoicing. 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 Psalm 126 verse 4. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. So God brings restoration. That's not the focus there. It says, those who sow in tears, they will reap with songs of joy.
Hallelujah.
Those who sow in tears, they will reap with what? Songs of joy. Verse 6 says, those who go weeping, carrying seeds to sow in every area. I told you, every area, every phone call, every encouragement, every return phone call, my God will compensate you. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And he says, listen. He says, those who weep going out carrying seeds to sow will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. God is not a debtor. He will never owe anybody. 1997, when we came into UK, we've heard my story before, but we'll hear it again. We came into a church. And you know, that's why you have to be very careful with church members. And stay focused. Because church members can derail you. We came into church. The pastor has been believing God for church growth and increase. We came into church. The church members were the ones who told us that this church is an unfriendly church. I'm telling you. Can you imagine? People are wicked. Church members. The church members, workers, were the ones who told us that in this church there's a cliche. So you see them, everybody hangs out in group. So, you know, we don't belong to any group. We don't belong to any group, but, you know, just watch on church members. But I told my wife, I said, listen, I said, don't follow them. Because people who talk like that, they are losers. I said, we joined church. We didn't know anybody. We didn't have money for mobile phones. We were too new to have contracts. So every Sunday after church, I would take my son, carry the other one on my chest, and I would walk almost like half a mile or a mile, go to the nearest phone booth, and then pick up their phone, be calling church members. And I say, hello, this is my name. I'm just saying that, I'm just finding out how you are doing. And then like that. We said, we're sowing seeds. It was uncomfortable because we're broke. The little money we have, the little money, instead of buying milk, we change a tenner into coins. In fact, for the whole week, our family budget was 20 quid. In the whole week, the family budget was 20 quid. Can you imagine four of us, 20 quid, and then you take a tenner out of the 20 quid? It was enough because we were living on Sainsbury low frills. You got to wait. When the milk is about 24 hours to expire, it drops 90%. Did you know that? I'll run your family budget like George Osborne. I'm telling you, we'll wait. We keep trolling, walking around. You will know that, isn't it? I used to work for the, you know, yeah? Exactly. Manny, it was serious. You wait, you got to wait, man. You go there and start checking the expiry date. Check the expiry. 20 quid. Can you not fancy taking a tenner out of the 20 quid? Wife and two children. Do you know I was on breast milk? I was free. So the three of us. So fancy taking a tenner out of your, that is 50% of your family budget, and then change that into coins. Then we didn't have a car. Then walk half a mile to go with a child in winter and to be calling a church member who has a mobile phone, sitting down in his or her house, sipping tea, eating biscuits. Many of them were homeowners at that time. We were living in one room in a house. We were sharing that house with about eight other families. Those who go out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, will return because God does not owe anybody. That investment, I'm still reaping it to you now. Are you listening? Build your spiritual life. This is a journey. Build it. It is not an activity. Build it. This was 1997. This is 2015. That seed is still working in my family. There is no moment of dullness in my home. No moment. If you come to my home, you don't want to leave. There is an atmosphere of joy and happiness. Even if I'm frowning, you will come in happy, laughing. God rewards. God gives us rejoicing for all our tears. That thing was painful. My goodness. That thing was painful. Do you fancy you sit down and I look at people today, they say, what do you hear most of the time for someone in church? They say, someone say, maybe I could at least sit down and say, in this church, there are cliches, nobody calls me. No. I'm not going to join that club. No. We did that for such a long time that the pastor noticed. Because somebody walked up to the pastor and said, Pastor, thank you for calling me. And the pastor went, all right. You know, because we called the phone and said, hello, because nobody knew me. I said, hello. Just calling on behalf of the pastor. I'm sure you'll have a good time. We just asked, how are you? How are things going on with you? And they would go, really? Yakety. And funny enough, they will hear that. You know, when you use the public phone, you hear the sound, popon, popon. It just won't click that this guy's calling me through the public phone. Popon, popon, popon. And then once they were here, putting the coin. And I'm going, yaddy, 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 yaddy. Then I'll have the baby on my chest. And really? The person, oh, that's so nice. That's so nice. That's so nice. Then drag the other one. Shh. Yeah, that's so nice. That's so nice. Take them out. So I have to give my wife a break. Just 1 hour phone call. I will do that Sunday evenings, around 6 in the evening. You know, one day, and my pastor had to call, and I said, who exactly called you? He said, oh, is this the gentleman I called him, Esosa? He said, really? I said, okay. And then one day my pastor called me, and I said, he said, come on to. He said, I'm aware you've been making some phone calls. I said, oh, pastor, it's just nothing. He said, no. I just want to say thank you. So say thank you. I said, no, pastor, no, that's not the reason why I did that. I'm just, I said, yeah, I know, and I'm just saying. But in less than a year, our phones, this time we've managed to get our own handset. Our phone never stops ringing. In fact, it was so bad, my wife and I said, my friend, no mobile phones in our bedroom. Our phone never stops ringing. Never stops ringing. People, this time, because of that seed, our phone never stops ringing, and our home is always full of joy. You got to know how to work these things. Because you can just labor and not know how to get... let me slow down here. I'm getting too excited. You can just labor and not know how to tap into your spiritual reward process. Today, in that same church, everybody wants to hang around with us. And so that time we're the poorest. But I'm poor today, doesn't mean I'll be poor tomorrow. In fact, I used to refer to her, but to my wife, as the lady with the tennis shoes. She used to have only one pair of shoes. And it was a blue slacks. You know, what is for, what do you call it? Was it white? And then my shoe. I had only one pair. And that shoe was filed on both sides. I mean, the heels. And the shoes gave me natural bow legs, you know. You know how you wear those shoes, you know? I'm telling you, when you are coming, you walk like that. It's not as if that's how God made you. It's just the condition. My God! 1997 here. You see, so now sometimes when I hear folks say, oh, what I'm going through, I say, tell me what you are going through. If I had this kind of problem how many years ago, I'd be so happy. I'm so happy. God is not a debtor. God is not a debtor. The pastor did not ask me to make those phone calls. But I know that anything you sow in this kingdom, Jehovah does not owe and will never owe any man. That's why you must serve and sow. Serve and sow with all your soul. Serve and sow with all your soul. And it is the best survivor kit. Serving and sowing with all your soul will reduce your prayer list. I will never pray for joy till I die. Not in my home. Never pray for joy. Never pray for joy. Amen. Are you seeing? A joy of happiness. Joy. In fact, it's so strong that we carry it. And you can be like that. I'm not telling you, I'm telling you how I did it. That's the scripture there. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed. And I'm not talking, I did not say I gave money to anybody. Are you listening? So in case you're looking and say, this is how the church take money from people. The pastor did not ask me for money. And he did not ask me to make those calls. Maybe even if he had asked me, I would have told him I don't have money. That was my own. It was deliberate. It was intentional. It was voluntary. And so I went. you will return with songs of joy. So songs, so rejoicing is how God compensates people. Rejoicing. Rejoicing. I used to say something, and even at work, and even at work, when I used to work, they used to talk about, oh, they just like the way he smiles. Are you serious? Are you serious? You know, everywhere I went, every project I went on, they will say they like the way I smile. Where I smile. And your smile talks about, your smile is an expression of the joy. How many people have smiled at you this week, right, that you don't even remember their name or their faces? And yet, they put me on teams, they promote me because they like the way I smile. And I'm not a smiling guy. I'm telling you, I'm not a smiling guy. I'm not a smiling person. Yeah? When you walk with me, you don't realize that, man, this guy doesn't, he's not a smiling person. You've got to be very, very, got to be thick-skinned to walk around me. Does that make sense? And yet, they say they like the way I smile. God will turn your frown into a smile in Jesus' mighty name. That's the spirit of rejoicing. The spirit of rejoicing. When you come into an atmosphere, when you come in with an atmosphere. Atmosphere of rejoicing. You know what happens when you are surrounded by an atmosphere of rejoicing? People are comfortable around you. People are comfortable around you. People want to talk to you. People want to, you understand what I'm saying? It's just an atmosphere of rejoicing. People feel, thank God this person is here. They call it I don't know if you've heard that phrase, but say a breath of fresh air. Exactly. A spirit of rejoicing. And you know, there are also some people that carry the other spirit, the spirit of sadness. Oh, when they come in, even if you were smiling before, your smile will just get plastered. Your face will freeze up. It's just something about the entire spiritual atmosphere that person carries, that just them coming around you, they call them wet blankets. It just busts your bubble. It's a spirit. A spirit of sadness. You know, there are people you just like the young boy I told you the other day, that every time he walks past me and I shake his hand, it's just something that just lives in my spirit. Discomfort. I said, I have to call the father. Man, what's this guy's story? I said, this guy said he just lost his mom 12 months ago, and this is the anniversary. I said, my goodness. So that young boy may not even know. But he carries this atmosphere of sadness around him. He wasn't frowning, but I could pick it up. Equally, there are people, if you carry an atmosphere of negativity, people will pick it up and they will run from you. People carry atmosphere of negativity, atmosphere of sadness, atmosphere of sorrow. But God rewards with rejoicing. Even if you are broke, you'll be broke, but rejoicefully broke. There's a word like that. I'm telling you. You know what I'm talking about? You'll be happy. God's rewards. Number two, he rewards with redemption. First, rejoicing. Second, redemption. Psalm 66, verse 11. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our head. We went through fire and water. But you brought us into a place of abundance. God rewards with redemption. Every time, if you are going through a challenge right now and you are under the sound of my voice, that challenge is a seed. God will reward that seed. As long as you don't complain, he will reward that seed with redemption. And that redemption becomes your testimony. And that testimony then becomes the glory of the cross. Are you listening? God rewards with what? Redemption or deliverance or liberation. You brought us into. It wasn't the devil. You. In other words, if you go through it, it's because your God allowed it. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. You rewarded our negative experience with abundance. Oh, you heard my story? Yeah, 1994, 95, right? 96, 94, 95 actually, for 2 years, when I was in Cyprus. That was by my employer, Mr. Vassos, the illiterate Vassos. He wasn't educated. That was an abuse. I don't think you can ever treat anybody like that. You know why you quit? So he comes in the morning, and from 5 a.m. in the morning, it's abuse. You're not clever. What are you? Look at you. Oh, you're an idiot. Oh, my God, you're not good at anything. Just look at you. Whoa. Every day. Not sometimes. I'm telling you, every day. Oh, so sorry. You know clever. I will go to bed and I will be listening to, clever. Yeah, you are laughing. This is not a makeup story. Me. What I went through in Cyprus, working in a cow farm, was hell. You can't go through that. I don't even wish it on my enemy. Doesn't matter what you are. If they tell me that they are sending you to Cyprus to go work in the cow farm, I say, I forgive you. Ah, let him go. Sit down. You know, you wear a shirt and tie to work, you know, executive, and I sit down and say, well, oh, my boss is making me uncomfortable because he doesn't appreciate the report I wrote. Report you wrote? bros. is that the complaint? That's the complaint. Yeah. Did they abuse your father? Yeah. Did he insult the womb that bore you? He said, no, you just didn't put my name on the report. He said, so I'm so upset about that right now. I wish they can take even the report I wrote last year, this year, and in the future, and they put their name on it and not abuse me. And God looked at me, and all that punishment and swear word and everything, He rewarded it. He rewarded it with redemption, not salvation. Deliverance from the pit of suffering. He rewarded it. God will reward your burdens. He will reward every challenge you face. He will reward every stress. He will reward every punishment will be rewarded. He compensates with redemption. He compensates with redemption. Job 42:12, and we'll close from there today. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job. Job 42:12. This is the famous chapter 42. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The first daughter he named Jemima, the second Keziah, the third Karen Hippuch. Nowhere in all the land where they found women as beautiful as Job's daughters. That will be your profile in this show from today. And their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. You know, in those days, they said, well, women don't have inheritance, not Job's. Say, my friend, go over here. He said, my daughters and my sons, I will give them an inheritance. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and his children to the fourth generation. And so Job died an old man, but but and full of years, not empty and sorrowful. Everything, when we read about Job, typically in our human nature, we only think about his suffering. We never see how God compensated him. All the things he went through, they became like something he dreamt about. Because God compensated him for all the tragedies of life. So your tragedy, your stress, it's a seed in the hand of God. There is nothing you will ever go through on the face of this earth that your God will not compensate you for. Fasten your seat belt and get ready for his reward. Rise to your feet and let us pray. We'll continue on Sunday.